providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Oh, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are continuing our focus on the resource sector and now looking a little more directly at some of the companies with Jayant Bhandari. He is a consultant to some institutional investors that are also focused on the resource sector. Now, Jayant, you and I were chatting off mic regarding kind of still the selective nature of the run that we're seeing in some of the resource stocks. It's still very much a stock picker's market where some of the good stories are running, but in all fairness, some of them were even running before we had the breakout this year in the precious metals. Let's start off by focusing on some of the companies that you are seeing the best value in. Well, actually, I shouldn't say seeing the best value in, that you think are some of the better companies, not only just from their stock performance, but also from what they're doing in terms of work.
So, Corey, we have in the past talked about Irving Resources. Ticker is IRV. They have a project in Japan. And I think this company has done a huge amount of good work in the ground in Japan. Their share price has gone up quite a bit over the last few weeks. And I think the market is expecting some good news to come out from the company over the next 1 month or so. The company is participating in the roundup, which is based on invitation only. And the company is also presenting at Metals Forum in Vancouver next month. So I think there is an excitement related with the company. The company has done very well. And it is one of my largest positions. There is another company called Ateco Mining, which we talked about last time, and that has gone up about 15-20% since the time we talked. And as I mentioned, despite the fact that I don't like the high G&A of Ateco Mining, the ticker is ATY, I like the fact that they are generating good cash flow on annual basis.
Now, when it comes to the difference here between Irving and Ateco, Ateco Mining is a producer. As you said, they're generating cash flow. Irving is an explorer focused in Japan, and Japan has become, or it's caught more investors' attention, really thanks to Irving and even Japan Gold. But quite frankly, Irving has been performing much better. Are you chasing any of these stocks higher? Do you think that they've reached some levels that it's time to maybe wait for a pullback or see what other type of news events can drive them forward?
I am cheap, Corey. I never, ever chase anything. I accumulate these companies when no one wants to buy these companies. I have been talking about Irving Resources since the time it was a 40-cent stock. That is when I participated in their placement. I have their 55-cent warrant, and then I participated in their $1.10 financing with $1.70 warrant. Most of those shares and warrants are still with me. Of course, I had to book some profits, but I would say 70 to 80% of my total share count is still with me. I'm not buying anymore, but I am sitting on it. I don't chase at these levels, but in my view, if there is a 10-bagger to be made, that is probably Irving Resources. Having said that, I'm not chasing at the current share price.
Now, what about another stock that you and I have talked about before? O3 Mining. I even had Jose Vizcarra on the show. I believe it was last week or 2 weeks ago. That company has a pretty substantial drill program currently underway, and we have really, I think, only gotten one round of drill results out of them. So there is a lot of news that could be catalysts for a higher stock price here. What are your thoughts on O3 Mining currently?
O3 is my largest share position. And the reason is that at $2.50 that the O3 is trading at, it provides me an extremely good downside support with a very good upside at these price levels. For any kind of company, a small to a medium-sized company, O3 is one of the best companies to invest in at the current share price.
Now, why do you say that? Simply for that exploration upside that you think that they have, or maybe also combined with the amount of cash that they have in their bank?
Well, look at it this way. They have market capitalization of about $100 million. They have more than $30 million in cash, and they have two projects, both on which PEA has been done in the past, and those two projects collectively are worth at least $100 or $150 million in my view. So just based on what is known to the market, there's an easy 100% upside in my view. One of the projects that they have was a project on which Agnico tried to do a deal with Alexandria Minerals, which if O3 decides to sell to Agnico Eagle at some point of time, could by itself generate something in the range of $50 million. So whatever way you look at it, I have anything between 50 to 100% upside based on what is known in the project. And then you have further upside from the current drilling and the current acquisitions that they are making right now.
Yeah, that move to acquire Alexandria's properties, it actually was a bit of a bidding war back, I think it was earlier this year. Yeah, I think it was
That's correct,
the beginning of this year. And in all fairness, Alexandria's shares had sold off so much that that company was in a lot of trouble. So the bidding war did come at a pretty deflated price, but it was very fascinating to see two companies going after the same project. Now, we were also talking about some companies before we started recording here that were really underperforming. And there's a lot of companies that are underperforming some of these standout companies. You mentioned one to me being First Mining Gold. I get a lot of questions on this company, and there are a couple major arguments against this company. One being that they were run like a mineral bank. So they were just acquiring ounces in the ground without any necessary care if they were economic ounces, waiting for a run in the metals price, which we've gotten a little bit of a run, but I don't know if that's going to be good enough to bring these deposits economic. Plus, they also have a very big burn when it comes to salaries, so money that's just not going into the ground. However, you did bring this up to me off mic, so please share some of your thoughts on First Mining Gold.
So firstly, I think a lot of investors rationalize why something has fallen, and then they, of course, rationalize why they should not be buying that stock. And I completely agree that First Mining has been a land bank, but that is no longer the case. They are actually working very aggressively on the Spring Pearl project. They are starting to work on the pre-feasibility study this year, and they hope to have the feasibility study work is starting later next year. So the company is actually moving very aggressively there. Even at the Gold Lund project, they are drilling next year. So I think they no longer see themselves as a land bank. They are actually actively working on the projects. Now, as far as the burn rate is concerned, I am actually completely in agreement with other investors. The burn rate is about $7 million a year, and most of that money is going as salaries in investor relations work. And I don't like that because I want my money to go into the ground rather than as salaries to managements and investor relations people. Having said that, First Mining is doing flow-through financing at 27 cents. It has fallen to its lowest in the recent times at 21.5 cents, and I don't see a huge amount of downside risk at the current share price. Corey, I'm here to make money, and while I do want to discount valuation for all the high salaries or high burn rate, I still want to see what the valuation comes to after adjusting for all these expenses. And at 21.5 cents, I see limited downside risk, and I see a nice upside based on a possible deal with Treasury Metals on Gold Lund project, which can generate an easy 50% upside from the current share price to me.
Okay, that's interesting, because you look at the share price or the chart of First Mining Gold, and man, it's just been trending down, down, down ever since 2016. And quite frankly, just recently also went to kind of a lower level down at 20 cents. So overall, that stock has been under a lot of pressure, but maybe it almost seems like you're trying to catch a falling knife there. But there could be that, I guess, a deal that could help boost that share price. There is one other stock, too, that you're bringing up to me, and that was FPX Nickel. Now, this stock's been brought up a number of times because people that are interested in the nickel sector, they like what FPX is doing, and they like the management team there. This company is, well, we can't argue that they have too high of a burn. They are actually very good about watching their money. However, nickel is just a smaller market than these precious metal stocks we're talking about. What about FPX here? It's not trading at a low for the year, but it has been trending down over the last few months. Where do you see the opportunity?
FPX recently did financing at 15 cents. My clients wanted to participate in the financing, but the company simply did not want to raise too much money at 15 cents. Today, there's a desperate seller who is selling FPX Nickel at 11 cents, and I have been buying at 11 cents today. This company not only has fallen quite a lot after from its recent financing price, it has actually a massive nickel resource in a safe jurisdiction of British Columbia. The company has done a lot of work. The burn rate is very low, which is what gives me a lot of good feeling about the company, because despite the fact that nickel has not done all that well, the fact that the company has a low burn rate provides me a nice optionality on the possibility that nickel price might go up over the next few years, and I might make a lot of money from what is otherwise a very small market cap company today.
Okay, so it sounds like you're still being very selective, trying to find some of these stocks that have sold off while not chasing some of the higher quality stocks. But I think we can wrap it up with the comment here that this is not an almost all aboard type of market. You still need to be very selective and you still need to do your due diligence because, well, like I said, even in this environment of rising precious metals prices, the stocks, it really depends what drivers the companies have. Can you take us through that, Giant, how really it's a news-based story? The company needs some good news to help drive investors into their shares?
Well, I think, Corey, that it's not necessarily just about the news. It's just that at some point of time, the feelings and emotions related with a certain company changes in the market and the share prices starts to change. As you can see with Irving Resources, there is actually no news right now, but emotions have suddenly changed. So has been the case with Ateco Mining, ATY, the share price has gone up. And I think we can't really predict when those emotions can change. A good news release can often result into a sell-off. So I don't really worry too much about the news flow, and I am actually quite happy trying to catch a falling knife, because that is exactly where the best money is made. Because yes, indeed, the share price can fall more, but share price can fall even when it has been going up for a long time. So I can't see into the future. I just buy when I think the value is good, and I try to make money from companies that market is not paying attention to.
All right, Giant, thank you for the updates on a number of companies there. I'm also happy to put any companies that any of you, our listeners, want Giant to comment on. You just have to email me, fleck@kereport.com. But in the meantime, Giant, thanks for joining us on the weekend show. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you very much, Corey.